Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am so smart. I am so smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you have been listening already, well, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. Lou DeFalco is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Louis DeFalco is Director of Safety and Security for ABC Fine Wine and Spirits here in the great state of Florida. As you know, I'm broadcasting from the Security Summit, IBM Security Summit in Epcot. I'm actually on the Disney property in Epcot, somewhere in the bowels of Epcot. I'm not sure exactly where I am. I was led in here. They blindfolded me and led me in. I'm not sure if I could find my way out. This place is huge. If you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. But Lou's here to talk to us about how you and I can be a little bit better, do a little bit better job of protecting our property. And when I talk about property today, folks, I'm primarily talking about our intellectual property, our intangible property, the things in our servers, on our hard drives, the big pipe that comes into our businesses and our homes, that connects us to the internet, that connects us to the world, that connects us to all this opportunity, but also quite a bit of risk, quite a bit of danger, potential danger. And Lou is an expert in that. Lou, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Now, you've got a varied background. You spent quite a bit of time in Vegas in the casino security and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but give us a little bit more about your background.
I had military background. When I got out of the military, I went to Las Vegas, and I was the director of security and surveillance for a couple different hotels.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the law enforcement, private investigation, and security field for 25 years.
Right. And now you've been with ABC?
I've been with ABC. ABC is the largest privately owned liquor store chain in the country.
Right.
We have 152 locations and about 1,900 employees.
But not just in Florida?
Correct. We're just in Florida.
Oh, just in Florida. Okay, I thought
still
you
are the largest.
Yeah. okay, now, you tell us about your thoughts. What's your definition of cybersecurity?
Well, it's a varied response. I mean, cybersecurity is a very tiered system. There's a lot of different aspects to cybersecurity. In the old days, as you said in your last half hour, the old days used to be the hacker that got in and created a problem.
Just a troublemaker.
Exactly. They would try to shut down your website, shut down this or that. Nowadays, they're going after financial information. They're going after personal information.
Used to be basically just troublemaking. Now it's for profit, isn't it?
It was the Trojan horses. It was the other kind of viruses that were set out there. Now it's for profit, exactly.
It's a business.
Organized, very, very detailed, organized groups of people that are doing this.
These guys are determined, and they're sophisticated, and they're becoming more of both of those every day, aren't they?
And the technology today is and what people are doing, which I'll share with you, is why it's such a problem.
Give us some examples.
Well, wireless systems, for instance. I mean, wireless is a very easy thing to do. You don't have to run hard wires. It's inexpensive, but it leaves you very vulnerable. If you don't,
because all your stuff is just going out over a bandwave.
Correct. I mean,
over a radio wave.
People, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have laptops that have the built-in wireless.
Exactly.
And you go onto your system, and you'll see things bounce around, different wirelesses you'll pick up. At my house, I have two neighbors I can pick up.
Right.
Some of our stores, I have various businesses that I can pick up.
All you got to do is open up network systems, wireless network systems, and you'll get a little list of what's available and who's got the best connection, et cetera, et cetera.
So if I'm a bad guy, then it's going to be very simple for me to tap into that system.
Go to an intersection.
Correct.
Pull that up and see who's out there. And it used to be that was a big deal to tap into huge companies like a big credit card company.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are getting better and better at it. And so it's becoming, the bad guys are becoming more democratized, aren't they? They're sort of becoming more equal opportunity bad guys, aren't they? They're working more and more on some of the little guys.
My old boss said that, you know, the best cops are the best criminals.
Right.
You have to have that criminal mind. You have to think like they're going to do and what they're going to do and use that technology to your benefit.
So wireless. Now, you know, we all love our wireless. I've got the wireless in my ThinkPad, my IBM ThinkPad, and I love it. I use it all the time. at home. I use it in my office, but there's some exposure there, isn't there?
There's a lot of exposure. People don't, you know, put up the necessary firewalls or use an encryption type devices.
Right.
Then you're definitely vulnerable.
Well, there actually are two things. One is my mic signal from my laptop to my router is one of the exposures, but also exposure, never mind my laptop, just getting into my wireless network.
Correct.
Right? So, I mean, you need to protect your own laptop, if you your own wireless laptop, but you also need to protect access to your wireless system.
Very simple to do.
Two different things that you got to do.
Correct.
Luke, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come right back. When we do, remember I asked Lisa the question about what ethical hacking is. Ethical hacking sounds like a contradiction in terms, right? An oxymoron. We're going to get Lou to tell us what that is. He's an expert. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
Welcome back. 17 till, a little Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blasingame, small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Louis DeFalco. Louis is director of safety and security at ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, the largest
privately owned liquor store chain in the country,
and it's only in Florida.
Only in Florida, and we have 152 stores here in Florida, from Tallahassee down to Miami, and about 1,900 employees.
Now, why does a company like yours need cybersecurity?
We are internally networked. All of our stores, our daily sales,
are hardwired.
Well, we're internally networked. It's all done. It's all done over our own internal network system. Which is exactly intranet. And all of our daily sales, all of our credit card information, all of our debit
card information. When they hit a button in Jacksonville, it goes right to the headquarters?
It actually goes to a store site server, which then is pulled back at a dedicated
overnight or something.
Correct.
It's pinged and it pulls it. So there's a lot of information, a lot of customer information, probably.
A lot. Well, you figure we're $750 million company here, so we yes, we have a lot of financial.
And so you want to make you are a target of opportunity for the bad guys, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And folks, here's the thing. Lou just told you how big his company is. You could be 100th of his size, and there could still be somebody out there trying to get into your stuff.
If you have one store, two stores, we have a wireless system. And I'll go into my story in Miami.
Right.
And we had an outside infiltration that hacked into our wireless systems, and they ended up procuring Discover card information.
Right.
Which before we knew they got into the system because it was a different IP address.
Right.
Once we found out that they were in the system, it was unaware of what they had actually gotten. They were only in it for 27 minutes. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. Some months later, we got a call from Discover card saying that we'd been hacked, that we had some reported fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the investigation went on and the FBI got involved and local law enforcement, to make a long story short, they got about $36,000 worth of Discover cards. And these cards were used all over the country. We had them used in New York and Detroit and Midwest.
They pulled some numbers.
Correct.
From some of your customer numbers.
Correct.
And they used those numbers and charged about $36,000.
And
did you find out who these people are?
We actually did. We luckily, the store manager, we knew somebody was in the system, so our internal IT department were right on the ball, called the store, said, is somebody in the store using a laptop? And they said, no. The manager went outside, saw a gentleman in his car with a laptop.
Wow.
And he got the license plate, and then I ran the license plate. It came back stolen, but we did some.
So this was this after they'd already been in? Was this another time?
This was actually the first time.
The first time.
But we didn't think too much of it.
Right.
And actually the fraud was reported from another store. We have obviously a lot of stores in the same general area. So this was, they found it was a father and son team who've been a long history of credit card fraud, manufacturing, distribution.
That what's amazing is they work hard at that. Why don't they just get a job?
when they arrested them, they had over 10,000 valid account numbers, blank cards, the pressing machine, the barcode machine.
How does it amazes me that a father would pull a child of theirs into something like this. That's a whole other story. Okay, I promised the audience that you would tell us what ethical hacking is.
The jumbo shrimp comment, yes. Ethical hacking is really an integrity test, an internal integrity test. You have a dedicated IT person or security person that is going to be in charge of your internal systems, and they are basically the gatekeeper. And they will either somewhere internally or hire an external company to hack into your systems and try to infiltrate your systems. And that will give you an opportunity to see if you've got any loopholes or any spots that you're vulnerable.
So it's like sometimes we do shows on mystery shopping.
Correct. Exactly.
Where somebody who nobody knows, not even maybe the owner, knows that this person's going to come in. The owner may know sometime in the next 2 weeks somebody's going to come into the shop and act like a customer and evaluate how well you're treated. And the owner won't know who it is, but they'll know what's going to happen. The employees have no idea that this is going on.
Correct. We do the same thing.
So you do this. You ping your own organization. You try to go in and see if maybe an employee will let their guard down. You go into the system to see if the firewall is strong enough and to see if your security systems and everything are in line.
Exactly. That's exactly. We do it at a lot of different levels within our organization.
And so the people who do that have to think like a criminal, don't they?
Correct.
If a small business wanted to see that, they had a new system or something, a new security system, and they wanted to get somebody to do that, how would they do that?
There's various companies out there? In the Orlando market that will do that.
Or across the country. I'm sure you could probably Google ethical hacking.
Absolutely.
Something like that. Yes. Ethical hacking. Folks, you know what hacking is? Hacking is where somebody gets into your system. They hack into your system. You've heard that a long time. Ethical hacking, which now that we understand it, sounds pretty intuitive.
I would just make sure that you get an accredited company and do some reference checks. Don't take the first one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, make sure you do your due diligence.
Ethical hacking might be a front for non-ethical hacking.
Correct. You just don't know. Get some references. Make sure that the company you're dealing with is reputable.
Exactly. Okay, 30 seconds before we take the next break. What are some of the main concerns that you have in your organization right now?
Any kind of hacking, any kind of identity theft is so huge, and we have so much financial information going across our network. You have to shred all your documents, personally and professionally. You have to do integrity testing. You have to do your ethical hacking. You have to do your due diligence on so many different levels and tiers.
Which is more about governance now, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, that's what we were talking about with Lisa a minute ago. It's not just about the technology and the mechanical, right? It's also about governance.
Policies, procedures, protocols, all of those things.
Very important things to think about, folks. We'll come back. We'll talk to Lou a little bit more about that. We'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingames, broadcasting live from IBM's Security Summit in Orlando, Florida, more specifically, Epcot. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Lou DeFalco. Lou, quickly, you spent a couple of decades in Vegas.
Correct.
I got in security of casinos, hotels, that sort of thing.
Correct.
I like the show Las Vegas, the television show on NBC, and I see them doing all these cool things. Now, you have told me that some of those things don't actually happen.
Correct.
But some of the things really do happen.
Also correct.
Which one doesn't happen, which one does happen?
Well, you never have anybody that runs the casino involved with surveillance and security.
So the James Caan character would never be up there in those rooms looking at...
Not unless he's an identical twin.
Now, that's an interesting point, folks. The security people are not managing the hotel.
Surveillance people have their own entrances. They're very... matter of fact, it's very strict policy. They are not to talk to or visit with guests or fraternize with them.
They don't wander around out there.
No.
They don't see somebody on the... I think that's good to know. But the other thing is, folks, you know how sometimes they take a picture of somebody at a blackjack table and they pull it up and they make the little sound and they cross-checking and all that and they find out about that?
This is
Lou, is that true?
That's very true.
They have the ability. Tell us about that.
This is it's called the Griffin system, and it's called the Black Book. Everybody knows it as the Black Book.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually take a picture of somebody's face and run it through a database, and it will actually tell us, you know, all their AKAs, the games that they play, their betting styles, their betting ranges, their known associates, their
anything,
styles of cheating.
And anything the FBI might have, anything?
It's really not through FBI. This is through the Nevada Gaming Commission. It's all done internally.
All right.
Las Vegas is its own little...
So if you haven't been booked before or anything like that...
These are all cheaters.
Right. So I've never been booked for anything so far, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
So my picture probably wouldn't be in that.
You would be maybe in an internal database depending on the style of play and how much you play.
Oh, I got you. Having been there before.
If you're a cheater, you would be in the Black Book.
I got you. Okay, so maybe I'm in the Green Book because I just give them my money. not a lot of money either, by the way, just for entertainment, folks. Okay, that's good to know. What are some other things that you'd like? If you've got a lot of small business owners listening to you right now, and they want to know, you know, how do I take the first step to make sure that my system is protected? What would
I think
you do?
Really to do your due diligence to kind of look at the kind of system. I mean, retailers need to protect their financial information. You not only have the problems of your guests and your customers' information, but your own. And people, you know, the bad guys are out there, and they want to try to obtain that.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got retailers that are paying associates $6 and $7 an hour, and you have organized groups out there willing to pay $5,000 for somebody to give them credit card information, you really need to do your due diligence, do an integrity testing, and really stay on top of things.
Because we already know that a lot of cyber crime comes from the inside, doesn't it?
Correct. I mean. Her number was about 70%. I've seen it even higher.
Really?
Wow! It's really an upward trend, and I have quarterly meetings with Secret Service in every quarter, and the scams start in Miami, and they kind of work their way up.
You have quarterly meetings with Secret Service.
They
want to keep. You guys are probably part of their eyes and ears out here in
the
world,
and they're ours for as far as the global the global scene,
right?
You know, with different bankers, credit card companies, and different retailers, law enforcement.
How much is cybercrime an international problem?
I think it's the problem.
Really,
absolutely.
The people who may try to hack into my system, who may send me a phishing email, that kind of thing. They could be in Russia or wherever.
The phishing emails, not only over the internet, but in the mail. I mean, those kind of crimes are escalating. Identity theft, they're saying by 2010, everybody will either have been or know somebody that's been affected by identity theft.
Hmm.
That's a scary statistic.
Yeah. You know, my bank sent me a new credit card a year or so ago and said, we think you may have been compromised. Here's a new card. Throw the other one away. It was not anything that I did. It was just, I mean, I didn't even know what happened.
Their system probably got infiltrated, internally.
It was probably just them being overcautious. But thank goodness they were.
Possible.
You know, all I had to do was cut the card up.
Yeah.
30 seconds, last thoughts.
I think just for the small businesses to make sure that you try to limit all of your credit card information to your employees. That would be your first and foremost thing to do. And protect all your hard copy documentation and all of your computer documentation as best you can.
The technology is essential, but it's not any good if you don't have the governance.
I can put 1,000 cameras in a room and watch everybody, but if nobody's watching those cameras, it doesn't do me any good.
Good
kind
point.
Of that analogy.
Good point. Hey, Lou, thank you for being here. Good job
thank
today.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate
it. And we'll see you a little bit later on. You and I are going to be working together in the next 2 or 3 hours.
Looking forward to it.
Lou DeFalco, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm looking forward to getting him back on the show. He's going to teach us some more stuff in the future. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.